This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
Welcome to the Press Pass here on KXL 159, 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. Press Pass is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know the treatment works. More information, check out riverbendcmhc.org. Appreciate you joining us for the show. I am Chris Ryan. Patriots have pretty much a must-win game against the San Francisco 49ers in Foxborough, 4:25 p.m. on Sunday for that one. Patriots fell to the Broncos 18-12 in a game that they could have and should have won against Denver. We'll go in-depth on the Patriots here on the program. Appreciate you joining us for it. I am Chris Ryan. Cam Newton, you know, really kind of needs to step forward in this game and be the offense for the Patriots. Be the leader that they need. Use his arm, use his legs, his mind, whatever it takes in order to win this contest for the Pats. The 49ers have been up and down this year, too, coming off a Super Bowl appearance, and they certainly have been on the upside after that win over the Los Angeles Rams. So Patriots need a big performance from Cam Newton, and I talked to them about that. Hey, Cam, curious as to your mindset this week after the game against Denver. You kind of said, this one's on me. You know, I need to be a little better going into this week. I'm not going to make excuses. So what's the mindset for you in preparing for this upcoming game, given that past performance, and what do you take from that?
I just haven't been good. And I haven't matched enough good plays together for my liking. And that's what it comes down to. And when I mean good plays, I mean right reads, I mean ball positioning, I mean, you know, making guys miss, I mean, just the whole gamut of how I play. And I know what I'm capable of, and my standard is extremely high, and I haven't been meeting it, my personal standard. So that's how I feel.
Is that, you know, out of trust, out of comfort? Can you kind of pinpoint why it just hasn't clicked to your liking yet?
You know, only thing I could do is the things that I can control, and that's to have a great week of practice and have it carry over, you know, to the game.
Tamir Bird's been good for the Pats at wide receiver, and also played with Cam in Carolina. Here are his thoughts on whether Cam is going to bounce back with a big performance this week. Hey, Demir, I wanted to ask you about, you know, Cam coming off a week like this past game and having played with him in the past. What is his, you know, MO in this type of environment where he, you know, takes some blame on himself for the way things went last week? What do you expect from him in terms of coming out this week after Sunday's game?
One thing I do know about Cam is he's a competitor. Flat out, he's a competitor. He's going to throw himself into the game plan and try to do whatever he can to help our team win. And that's what we look for in every player on our team, and I'm sure that's what the coaches ask, and he's going to do whatever he has to do.
What are the keys to developing on-field chemistry with him as a receiving core? And obviously a lot of it has to do with the fact you haven't been able to practice the way you're normally able to, but how is that going to develop, and how do you develop it in this type of environment?
You know, a lot of it, some of it is timing. Some of it is just giving him the confidence, knowing that we're going to be where he needs us to be. And that's continued reps, showing him that we can do it, and, you know, just trusting each other and getting it done.
Let's go to the defensive side of the football now and hear from Devin McCourty about the Patriots and this huge game against the 49ers.
We're very fortunate. We get to play a game for a living, game we've been playing a lot of us since, call it 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and this is all we've done. You know, guys have had little odd jobs here and there, but for the most part, guys have done this their whole life. So when you do that, you know, each team you move up a level, you know, it kind of changes a little bit, but for the most part, you know what you know, and that doesn't change In the last couple of weeks, that's changed dramatically for us. So to be able to just kind of do what we were used to doing and trying to do it at a high level and get better at it, it just felt good. The hard work felt good. And I think, you know, even if you're not a professional athlete, you know that feeling of being away from something or getting out of your normal routine, and when you get back in, just how good it feels and how you took it for granted and you want to just kind of make it better. And I think that's where we're at right now.
I really like the play of both Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson, the secondary for the Pats. Both Jason McCourty and Stephon Gilmore have served as mentors for those two individuals. Let's hear first from the reigning Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore.
Hey, Steph. Curious as to the mindset for the group this week. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, must-win games, things of that nature. Does it help a group to have, you know, a sense of urgency to, you know, call your shot and say, okay, this is a must-win game, or do you have to have a different type of approach?
I feel like every game is important. You know, this is another game. I feel like the more and more you play throughout the season, the bigger the game gets. So this is a big opportunity for us to go out there and play a good team. You know, had a good week of practice. Got a couple more days into the game. So I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to, you know, compete against those guys. And I'm excited for the game.
I want to ask you about Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson and the way they've continued to progress and develop. What have you noticed specifically about their development, and how much pride do you take in yourself in making sure that you're a good mentor for those guys?
Oh, for sure. My guys, Jay Jones, great competitor, physical, you know, getting better and better every year. Mark. You know, he can run with anybody. JC, he's really coming into himself. Great ball skills, you know, can cover. You know, and, you know, he's getting better, you know. He's taking it one game at a time, and they help our secondary out a lot. We lean on those guys a lot, and I'm happy I'm on the team with them. I'm teaching them as much as I can each and every year.
Here is Jason McCourty.
Jason, wanted to ask you a little bit about the 49ers offense as a whole. Obviously, there's a lot of focus on Jimmy G and Kittle so far in the discussion. How is the diversity of their offense, do you think, create challenges for your group?
Oh, man. They do a really good job of using different personnel groups. They have an extremely versatile fullback in Juice, and they're able to get him in there. He can catch the ball, he can block, he can line up as a tight end, and that adds so much versatility. And I think beyond that, like you just said, we've talked a lot about Kittle. And then at the receiver position, you know, these guys are good players, explosive. And when, like, a guy like Deebo Samuel gets the ball in his hands, he's no different than a running back. He can take a reverse. He had a play versus the Rams where he seems bottled up, and the next thing you know, he spurts out of there for about a 30-yard gain. Ayuk is another guy. You see him jumping over a guy for a touchdown in Philly. These guys, when they get the ball in their hands, they're explosive, and they can score from anywhere. And then Bourne on the outside, too, as a receiver, he's quick in and out of his breaks. He's a guy that shows up all over the film. So I think the tough thing about the offense is they have so many weapons. They can beat you running the ball with their ability to block up front and pullers and scheme. You see Morsett getting the ball. He's breaking it 70 yards untouched to the end zone with their speed. And obviously now that'll be McKinnon, another fast back who can score from anywhere. So the amount of weapons and their ability, what Shanahan does, is his ability to get the ball spread out and get it to different guys in different places on the field is what makes him so tough to cover, play in and play out.
You've talked a lot about your role as a mentor with this group, and I'm curious how much pride you take in the development of Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson, the way they've been able to, you know, continue to get better throughout the course of their career. And in some way, is their success at rival, you know, your success in your mindset in terms of how much you enjoy it?
Oh, man, it's awesome for me. I think I got here, a guy like Jay Jones, he's a young veteran, you'd say. He's a guy that's wise beyond his years. He gets it. He understands it all. And he's just continued to work on his craft. I remember when I got here in 18, he was coming off a foot injury. And then I remember saying to him last year in training camp, just the difference a year post surgery and everything and rehab. He looked, obviously he's a fast guy, but he just pays so much attention to what we do as a defense. He's a guy that can line up at every single position in our secondary, and he just goes out there and he plays. And JC, I call him Gerald, but it's been a pleasure being able to be around him. He was a guy who came in undrafted, and he knows I'm always in his ear, whether it's something on the field, something off the field. I can't wait. Few years from now, I'll be sitting on a couch somewhere watching him continue to intercept the ball on Sundays and shooting him a text. But he's a guy who's he continues to get better each and every time he's on the field. And the more plays he's out there, the more plays he makes and winning plays for us to win the game. So obviously me as a 12-year guy, there's times I'm sitting on the sideline watching those guys in the game. And it's been a joy. You know, when you see your guys out there making plays and you know the work that you guys have put in, from training camp and on for the last few years since I've been here, seeing those young guys, Jay Jones getting paid last year, JC on the brink of doing something like that, it's always fun to watch.
Now let's hear from the coaching staff. First, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, who has been raving about the San Francisco 49ers tight end, perhaps throwing some shade at Rob Gronkowski along the way. Morning, Bill. You're effusive of your praise of George Kittle yesterday with the San Francisco media, and I'm curious as to how you've seen the tight end position evolve over the years, and what role do you think Gronk had in that, and also Mark Bavaro in your time with the Giants, as you ranked him as good as anybody you've ever seen in regards to Kittle.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of great tight ends through the years, and I would just say Kittle is very impressive. He does everything well. You know, it's hard to compare his career with other players that, you know, have played 10, 12 years and so forth. But what he's able to do and what he's done and our exposures to him is pretty impressive. He's very good at everything. Passing game, running game, run after catch, blocking. Effort, big playability, you know, you name it. He pretty much excels in every area. So, you know, I think when you look at complete tight ends, you know, he certainly stacks up there to this point from what he's been able to do with, you know, just about anybody. And certainly put, you know, guys like Bavaro and going back to, you know, earlier in pro football, 60s, 70s, 80s, where tight ends did everything. There was no receiving tight end or blocking tight end. Those guys, you know, they lined up there for every play, the John Mackeys and the Mike Ditkas and great players like that. They're in the Hall of Fame. They lined up on every play and blocked and ran and caught and made big plays and blocked defensive ends and everything else. So, you know, you don't see as many of those type of players these days, but certainly Kittle looks like he could, you know, do everything that you would want a tight end to do.
Is that the type of player that you prioritize in terms of talent acquisition? And what have you seen from Izzo in that realm?
Well, again, you're talking about some of the players that I mentioned are, you know, Hall of Fame players. And again, don't think it's definitely, you know, too early to talk about Kittle in that range, but again, based on what he's done in his career to this point, I think he's as good as anybody I've seen. So maybe not as good as Mackey, but I mean, you know, you could put him up there with just about anybody you want to put him up there with in terms of blocking, receiving, everything else. You know, Bavaro was a great, great blocker. And a top receiver, but I would say Kittle's ability in the passing game is pretty, pretty special. So, you know, he's a great player, you know, but we'll get a chance to look at him in person on Sunday.
Patriots offense needs to get back on track this week, and I talked with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel about that.
Well, I think everybody's the best way to play offense is for everybody to contribute and to find ways for everybody to contribute. And that's certainly my job. And, you know, I'm gonna try to do the best I can to get him involved, but also, you know, try to get production from all the skill positions on the field. You know, every offensive unit is always better when, you know, there's a lot of people that are contributing, and you got to stop a lot of things. So, you know, whether it's our receivers, our backs, our tight ends, the more guys that are producing and making plays and, you know, creating first downs and opportunities to make bigger plays, you know, the better off we're going to be. So, you know, certainly Julian's always a big part of what we want to try to do. And I need to do a good job of trying to get him going. But I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, we just, you know, all of us need to do our jobs well and try to get contributions from everybody to be the most effective we can be.
Hey, Josh, just your thoughts on, you know, the rhythm and tempo of the offense against the Broncos, and how do you go about, you know, establishing, you know, better rhythm, higher tempo for the group, and what is significant about that, particularly in your offense?
Well, I think anytime you want to try to establish rhythm, that is a direct correlation to positive plays and execution. And so, you know, if you go out there and you execute 8, 10, 12 plays in a row, you know, you're going to stay on the field and you're going to give yourself an opportunity to get into a rhythm and, you know, and continue to play that way. So, you know, it's not easy to get into a rhythm just because you want to. You can't really say, hey, let's just do things quicker and magically, you know, create first downs. You know, first downs are a result of good preparation and good execution. And so, in order to get into a good rhythm offensively, which we've had good stretches of doing that this year, it's about what the guys on the field are able to do. And we've got a lot of faith and confidence in our group, and got to try to have a good week of practice here. And it starts there on the practice field in terms of building our overall execution and developing our good habits and fundamentals so that we can use them, you know, under pressure when the game starts on Sundays.
Thanks, Josh.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
More to come. This is the Press Pass on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. This is the Press Pass here on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. I am Chris Ryan. Let's look back at the Patriots' 18-12 loss to the Denver Broncos. We hear from the players post-game and in the couple days after the Patriots' loss, a game where they didn't really play well in any aspect of the game. Defense was good enough to win. They didn't allow a touchdown in the contest. Offense really didn't get much going at all. Special teams not great either for the Patriots. And, of course, they only had one day of practice leading up to that, given the COVID-19 situation with the Patriots. There's even some questions whether the game would be played if there was another COVID-19 case with the Patriots on Friday. But indeed, the game did take place. The Patriots lost 18-12 and have dropped to 2-3 on the season. Bill Belichick talked after the game, and his focus was on the team needing more practice.
We need more time together. We need to practice together. We need to execute and, you know, do everything better. No question about that.
Would you say anything more specifically just on Cam, having him back, just what you thought of his game today?
It's the same for everybody on the team. Nobody's practicing. I mean, we all need, like I said, we all need to do more practice, more, and need to get our execution levels up a lot higher.
I talked with Cam Newton about not being able to get any rhythm in this contest. And, you know, late in the game, in order to get the Patriots going, he had to run the football in order to do that. Hey, Cam, it seemed like you guys obviously had difficulty on the offensive side finding a rhythm today. And that's, I guess, to be expected given the lack of practice time. But how do you go about trying to find that rhythm moving forward and build from here?
Well, I think for us, the first thing, the number one thing, is protecting the football. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, you know, from the turnovers, you know, those are drive killers and those are game killers. And, you know, like I said, it starts with me. You know, I'm extremely frustrated in myself and my performance here moving forward. You know, I'm here for one reason, and, you know, I didn't get the job done today. So you can just imagine how I feel. But yeah, I don't want this to be a pity party. We do have, you know, another opportunity here coming up. We have to follow this up with, you know, great, you know, practice this week, and I look forward to it.
And how do you find that rhythm in practice, do you think? And did you like the direction you were heading in with your new teammates prior to the COVID situation?
Of course. But yeah, you know, nobody cares, you know, about what the it was or what the reasons were. And to be honest with you, I don't care either. I'm not expecting people to care. You know, my job here moving forward is to find ways to win football games to put this team in the best situation. And it just starts with protecting the football. And that's what this game came down to. No matter, you know, what the sputtering was on the offensive side, you know, the defense gave us opportunities by holding them to field goals. And that's what we got to that's what we can only ask for as an offense. And, you know, we just let this game slip away by the lackluster performance of protecting the football.
Also talked with the Patriots' James White.
I mean, Bill kind of said it a couple of days ago. It's kind of like a day-by-day, hour-by-hour type of thing. So things that may pop up, things may not. You just got to adjust. And, I mean, you get an alert or anything if there's not going to be practice, if there is going to be practice. So, like I said, we kind of know that could happen. Every team knows that could possibly happen if somebody pops up with a positive test and things of that nature. So, like I said, you just got to find a way to adjust. It was a little adversity. We just didn't play good football today.
Hey, James, you mentioned, you know, the fact that the offense didn't find rhythm today. And obviously there's the built-in excuses as to why that perhaps didn't take place. But outside of that, why do you think that you never really found that rhythm today? And it took kind of Cam putting the ball down and getting yards late to get anything going for you guys.
I think it was the turnovers, too, that those are always going to kill you. You turn the ball over a few times in this league, your percentages of winning the football game drop off a lot. So you got to just do a better job protecting the football at the least. And we're not going to, you know, put drives together. Let's just not turn it over. Our defense, like I said, was doing a great job of, you know, stopping those guys in the red zone. And they created some turnovers for us at the end to give us a chance. So we just got to do a better job of helping them out.
And final thing, is it difficult, even though you guys don't really ever make excuses, to not fall into that trap given, you know, all of the circumstances that have surrounded this group for the last couple of weeks? And, you know, how do you guard against that, particularly if more practice gets canceled down the road, if there's more issues?
I mean, like I said, each and every team can face something like that. So there's no excuse. It could be us this week. It could be another team the next week. And like I said, it's the world we're living in right now. Everybody knows that can happen. So just got to fight through.
Thanks, James. Of course, Cam Newton was back for his first game after dealing with COVID. Steph Gilmore back as well, the reigning defensive player of the year. Hey, Steph, I apologize if you've been asked this already, but just how are you feeling overall, and how do you feel you came through the game with the COVID situation?
I feel good. I mean, I'm just upset. You know, we lost the game. You know, that's... I don't really care about the, you know, situation that happened, but we had an opportunity to come out and play the game that we love and play for our teammates. And, you know, we didn't get the job done today.
Just as a follow-up, it seems like, as you referenced, you know, there was never any rhythm for you guys in this game. You were there, but you were kind of scrapping throughout the course of the contest. Why do you think that was?
I mean, just like any other game, you know, you got to be able to make plays and stop the offense and try to get turnovers. And, you know, it just happened that way. You know, it's no excuse. We just didn't get the job done.
Last year and this year as well, one of the great strengths for the Patriots is their secondary. However, they've given up more big plays in the last few games, or the few games they've played so far this year, than we really saw last season. I think a lot of it has to do with taking place up front, and the Patriots' secondary more expansive this year. Adrian Phillips, who's listed as a safety, has actually been playing more linebacker for the team this year. I asked Bill Belichick, Patriots head coach, for his assessment on where things are at with that Patriots secondary unit. Hey, Bill, wanted to ask you about the secondary specifically, and your thoughts on what you've seen from them through the first five games, and also what you've gotten from Adrian Phillips so far.
Well, I think the secondary's and competed hard like they always do. And it's an experienced group that's works well together, spent a lot of time together, and they have good levels of communication and anticipation. Know how to handle things, especially things that might come up that are new in the game and maybe a team hasn't shown before. So, they continue to do a good job on that. And Adrian's roles kind of expanded a little bit for us each week, both on defense and in the kicking game. But he's been very productive. He's got a good instincts. He's a good tackler. Good football player. So glad we have him, and his role has expanded. He's really been able to do a lot of good things for us this year. And, he's smart, and he's has a good level of anticipation, and he's a good decision maker on the field. So that's we're fortunate that we have him. He's done a nice job for us.
As a follow-up, is there a way that you want to bring players in, particularly veteran players like Phillips, where you want to give them kind of a base and then expand their role as you've done with Phillips, or is it unique to each individual player? Do you have an overriding philosophy on that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think it's, each player's kind of follows a similar pattern at the beginning. Learn the basics of the system, whatever phase of the game we're talking about. And then as we get more comfortable with the player's skill set and he has a better understanding of the different tools that are available to him in the position or positions that he plays, then that can possibly expand. As you know, some of that's a function of the game plan and just how it turns out. So teams that present certain opportunities for us or dictate certain personnel groups, that can also play a factor into how we're set up and what the opportunities are. So that could, come at the beginning, come at the middle, come at the end. Could be more 1 week and less another week. So there's definitely an element of game planning and week by week determining on that, as opposed to necessarily being a progressive. A few more snaps each week, a few more snaps each week. That's not always something we have control over. So combination of all those things.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Speaking of Adrian Phillips, I also spoke with him. Hey, P, hope all is well with you. Just your thoughts on what you saw on the tape from the game against the Broncos, what you liked, didn't like, about the way that the defense performed, and kind of an assessment as to where you find the group now 5 weeks in.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I saw was just, we left some plays out there. They had a couple, few drives where they drove the length of the field on us, even though they didn't get in the paint, those drives ended in field goals. So we just got to do a better job of getting off the field on third down and actually winning in the early down situations. But we had a lot of good things going on too, but it was just accumulation of things, like not winning on first down and not getting off the field on third down, and just those couple drives where they drove the length of the field that really could have helped our offense out.
How comfortable are you at this point with the Patriots? And it seems like each week you've gotten a little bit better, more comfortable from the outside. But from your perspective, it's obviously been difficult with this environment that you've been in for the last 2 weeks. But do you feel more comfortable now?
Yeah, with every game that goes on and every week that goes on with practice, I know we haven't had a lot of it, but, you gain a lot more confidence in you get a lot more familiar with the scheme and what's going on and with the game plan and what we're trying to get done. So each week is getting better and better, and we just got to keep putting those things together and make sure that we end the games with wins, because we're not in this for moral victory. So we just got to be better overall and get the job done.
Two players really stood out to me on the defensive side of the ball for the Pats on Sunday in the loss to the Broncos. One was Juwan Bentley, who got into the backfield, made a lot of tackles in this game, was extremely aggressive, and was able to create opportunities for the Pats. The other was Jonathan Jones, who had a great interception late. Let's hear from Bentley. Juwan, just your evaluation of the defense as a whole today. It seemed like you guys were able to keep them obviously out of the end zone, but the Broncos moved the ball a little bit. You did get some turnovers late. Did you see continued growth of this defense? What was your overall feel on the way you guys played?
I mean, you always look to get turnovers and things like that, but obviously room for improvement. We want to win, so definitely room for improvement. And I will always say that regardless of win or loss, there's always room for improvement. But, I mean, today, we definitely took some steps forward in some areas, and in some areas we definitely need to work more. So just taking it one day at a time, one game at a time, one practice at a time.
It seemed like you did a real good job of finding the gaps today and getting into the backfield and kind of creating some havoc back there. Do you feel like that's one of the stronger parts of your game, is finding those gaps?
As a linebacker, that's a big part of your game. So I appreciate you noticing that. I've been doing fairly well on that. Thank you.
More on Bentley now with Patriots linebacker, defensive end John Simon. Hey, John, what did you like, not like about the performance after watching it on tape and having the coaches break it down for you? And where do you feel the defense is at as a whole in terms of coming together as a unit?
Well, I think we're making some good progress. Obviously, it's never good when you come out with a loss. But I think we saw some things that we were excited about and saw some things that we definitely need to correct. Like I said, we watched the tape right there, made the adjustments, and have to go put it into practice coming in the weekend of practice and in Sunday against the 49ers. So big week for us here. We're going to have a solid week.
John, I wanted to ask you about Juwan Bentley. I thought he had a really solid game yesterday. And what have you seen from him in terms of improvement and things that you think he brings to the linebacking core, his ability to shoot gaps, and what are some of his assets in your view?
Well, I think Juwan just does it all. He's a complete player. He's young in his career, but he plays like a veteran. He has very good football IQ, plays the run and pass well, good leader too. You know, happy to have him out there, a smart guy and great teammate.
And here is the aforementioned Jonathan Jones.
Yeah, I think late hands, that's about the best thing receivers can do. But, I mean, your eyes can't lie. You know, the ball is coming. That's just a natural instinct, you know, for your eyes to, you know, trying to zoom in on that ball. So there's guys who do a great job at, you know, showing late hands, which kind of makes it hard, difficult. But when it's facial expressions, like I said, you really can't hide those.
Hey, Jonathan, kind of along those lines, you know, in what areas do you think you've kind of continually improved, particularly on, you know, the intellect side of the game and the mental side? Where do you think you've made the biggest strides in getting to the point we're at now?
Just continued study of offenses. You know, I think once you get, you know, your defense, I want to say you never have it down pat because you're always, you know, improving. But once you kind of get a good foundation, you know, in your own defense, you're just diving more and more into other teams' offenses and, you know, how they're trying to attack you, and start to analyze those things. You know, what do they perceive as your weaknesses and how can they make plays, and you try to, you know, combat those.
Was there, going into this game, a feeling that, you know, there was going to be a challenge in that you just had the video work leading into this? There wasn't a lot of time on the practice field and there was going to be challenges that came with it? Or did you guys find yourself somewhat surprised that, you know, the practice and the lack of practice had the tangible effect that it had in the game?
No, I mean, that's what practice is for. You know, it's one of the most important things you do is practice. So, I mean, not being able to do that, you know, you can't, and that's in anything you do, you know, in life. If you can't practice it, you know, you're not going to always be as good as you are, you know, without practice. So that's not with, you know, making an excuse for practice, but, you know, it's one of the most important things we do.
Back to the offensive side of the ball now. Ryan Izzo had a good game for the Patriots and was able to connect with Cam Newton on several key catches, but had a big fumble where he came across the middle, and just a simple play where he needed to tuck the football but was kept it exposed and had it knocked out. Here is the Patriots' Ryan Izzo. Hey, after the Raiders game, there was such a feeling that, you know, the offense was trending in the right direction the way you guys closed the game out. Good feeling going into Kansas City, and then obviously the situation with COVID. Do you feel like now is kind of a time for a reset for the offense in regards to chemistry and rhythm and those types of things? Or are you able to build upon what happened pre-COVID?
I think for me, it's just, you know, moving forward, you know, trying to, you know, correct all the mistakes that we've had from, you know, previous games and learn from them. You know, COVID's been such a unique situation because, you know, never in my football career have we not been able to practice. And, you know, that's no excuse. But, you know, being able to go back out there on Wednesday, you know, which I think everybody's really looking forward to, being able to get back to work and just, you know, work on our fundamentals, you know, overall.
It was mentioned, you know, how much Cam was looking for you and targeting you in that game, and obviously have the unfortunate circumstance with the fumble. So what do you take from that particular game? Are you, have you pushed it all to the past? Are you, you know, focused on certain aspects? What are your thoughts overall on that game?
I think overall, you know, I thought I played pretty well, but, you know, I'm just really trying to focus on, you know, ball security. I mean, that's one thing I really got from that game. And then, you know, it just comes with, you know, little details of the game as well that come with, you know, the run game and the pass game. So, you know, I think it's just learning from that experience and not trying to let it happen again.
Thanks. All right, Patriots tight end Ryan Izzo right there. We stick on the offensive side of the ball and talk with Damian Harris. It seems like the focus over the last couple weeks has been for teams to stop the run. Patriots don't have a prolific grade A rusher, but their rushing attack is always successful. They also catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. Here is Damian Harris. Hey, Damian, just curious, do you feel that teams are gearing more up for the run against you guys over the last few weeks? Is that kind of a focus for Denver?
I mean, that's not really a question that I can answer. I think that's more of a Coach Josh or Coach Bill question, but I mean, we've done a good job of running the football the first couple of games this year, and that's something that we want to continue to do. So, whatever, you know, whatever defense we're facing, whatever scheme we're facing, you know, we got to find ways to get our running game going because we know that it makes our team better. So, whatever we have to do in practice, film, preparation, schematically, you know, whatever the challenge is for us to go out there and have a good day running the football. It's a challenge that we've got to meet, and we've got to do whatever we can to, like I said, get the ground game going.
There's a lot of discussion of rhythm, communication, and things of that nature being kind of out of whack for you guys, as you'd expect with the lack of practice time. What does it take for you to feel like the offense is in a good rhythm? Is it a couple plays? Is it consistency? Like, what will it take for you to know that the offense has found that rhythm?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into finding that rhythm, but again, it just starts at practice. It starts in the meetings, scouting reports, doing everything that we can to put ourselves in the best position on Sundays to have success. Like I said, there's a lot of different ways that we can get that accomplished, and you know, that's where the coaching comes in, and that's where us players, we have to take the coaching, we have to play within the scheme and the parameters that are set for us and do what, you know, what's going to make our offense successful because, you know, the coaches know what they're doing. You know, we got full trust in the coaching staff to always put us in the best position to go out there and be a successful offense. So, you know, we just have to go out there and we have to work at it in practice. Look at the film, look at the scouting report of the team that we're going to be playing, whoever that opponent is, and we just got to go out there and execute.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL 189, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan, so please you can join us for the show. Coming up next, our resident sports expert from Boston.com, Dave D'Onofrio. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. Press Pass presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health. And the segment of the show brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first and has since 1951. If you can't make it to one of the two locations, the Prescription Center will deliver prescriptions to you free of charge. It's the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Appreciate you joining us for the show. I am Chris Ryan, and we welcome to the show right now Dave D'Onofrio, our resident sports expert from Boston.com. Dave, how are you?
Doing good, thank you.
Good. Appreciate joining us for the show. We'll talk a little Patriots and World Series here with Dave. And first off, the Patriots are taking on the 49ers. And this is, for all intents and purposes, a must-win game for the Pats. And I feel confident that this is a game that the Patriots will find a way to win. I think that this team is a playoff caliber football team. There are obvious questions on the offensive side of the ball, and I think Cam Newton's performance is going to indicate whether or not they can have success in this football game. It looks like they're going to get some guys back. Looks like David Andrews, the center, is going to be back in his spot on the offensive line. Do you think the Patriots are going to win this one?
Yeah, I think that this is a classic situation where they're the more desperate team. The Niners are desperate too, but the Patriots are at a point where they need to show that last week was not them, and that, you know, so far so good as far as this week being normal in terms of practice and no COVID positives, and they need to make, in order to save this season, and that seems weird to say in week six, but in order to save this season, this is an important opportunity for them to just establish that things were weird. The Denver loss happened, but it was an aberration. It wasn't emblematic of who they are. That the team they really are is the team we were encouraged by after four games. And if they come out and they play well and they look like themselves again, and the offensive line returns to the form that we expect it to be in, I think this sets up as a game where that is primed to happen. Now, the Niners are talented. They're also dealing with some injuries. They've been disappointing to this point. It's a game the Patriots have to win, and I do think it's a game they will win.
I agree, and you know, we've talked about this a lot through the years, that one of the if you're looking for who's going to win a game in the regular season, pick the team which is more desperate for a win, and more often than not, that's the team that wins, particularly at home. And you know, we've seen that through the years with the Patriots, both for them and against them in many circumstances. If you need to win, you can find that extra level of, you know, putting yourself in harm's way to make extra plays and extra yards and all that. With more dedication and focus, it is hard to get yourself in a mindset to play football successfully, given all the risk that is involved. So when you are the more desperate team, you can make that sale to yourself a little bit more. And that's where the Patriots are at this week. The 49ers look like a typical Super Bowl losing team, where they come out of that and they're kind of inconsistent. They can't quite find themselves. And that seems to be the 49ers. They are a Jekyll and Hyde team this year. They're really good. They're really bad. Last week, they were really good. This week, they're not going to be really good, in my view. So, yeah, I think that this is a game that the Patriots win. I think the Patriots are too good to be a 2-4 football team, regardless of the schedule. And the schedule has been hard, and it's going to continue to be hard. But I still think that this team is able to claw themselves to a 9-7. Before the Broncos game, I said 10-6. So we're moving backwards. But I still think they're able to claw themselves to a playoff spot.
Yeah, and part of the desperation is not just where they've been, it's where they're going and where
exactly
where that schedule, you know, could potentially get. We discussed this earlier in the week, and we discussed it last week, that if they let one slip away against the Broncos, you know, this Niners are certainly talented enough to come to Foxborough and win and dominate. I think that the talent wise the Niners are better, but as you mentioned, they have that Super Bowl hangover feel to them. But if the Patriots let the Broncos game slip away and then let the Niners game slip away, we've discussed the scenario where they wind up 2-6. And the Bills have come back to the pack a little bit. You're now, I think, you wake up this morning feeling a little bit better about the chances in the division than you did, you know, when you went to bed as the Patriots on Sunday night, because the Bills have since been humbled by the Chiefs after being humbled by the Titans. And the AFC East looks absolutely in play. But if this one gets away from them and all of a sudden they're 2-4, forget the wild card. I think the division is quickly getting out of hand.
Not just, you know, the future of this season, but also the future in regards to the Patriots as a whole. I mean, do you get to a point where if you're 2-6, you pull the plug on Cam Newton and you take a look at Jarrett Stidham for a couple games and see where that goes? So
I think that timing would coincide around the trade deadline too, which could lead to another layer of, you know, shedding.
Right. And for Cam Newton, you know, he's an individual that is motivated by the fact that there are a lot of teams that had a chance to sign him and didn't. And he's a former league MVP who still has a lot to give in the game. And that's a dynamic that I want to see this week. How does he come out and make the plays to win this game for the Patriots? Because that is really what it's going to come down to with this offense. There's a lot of talk about, oh, there's no playmakers on the offense. Well, there's one. That's Cam Newton. And he has to be that playmaker, whether it's with his arm or whether it's with his legs and also his mind. He has to be that guy. And that's what I'm looking for in particular on the offensive side.
Yeah, it really does revolve through him and only him. I mean, all the talk that's come out since Sunday about the preparation and distraction of the illness and everything like that, it comes down to the fact that you look at the game log from that game, and they had a 38-yard run by Newton, sort of on a broken play. Other than that, the two of the five longest plays were throws by Julian Edelman. And you can't survive in the NFL today if you can't either – you have to run the ball extremely consistently if you're not going to make big plays. And the Patriots did neither on Sunday. It's when they've looked bogged down this season, that's been the problem. They haven't been able to get the running game going. And I don't know if Cam Newton as a passer is good enough to keep them afloat with these weapons. So I think he needs to do it both with his legs and his arm. He needs to be the dynamic playmaker, because if he's not doing it, flat out, the talent's not there. It's not there. The playmaking ability is not there. I like the way you put it. They have one guy who can make a difference making play, and that's Cam Newton.
Yeah, and he then can make the difference in all other areas of the game as well and provide opportunities for the other guys to make plays, but they're not going to be able to make plays, obviously, on their own. And there's been a lot of discussion about the wide receivers not being able to get separation, and that was a big part in Cam holding the ball for too long, throwing a couple interceptions. So that's a part of things also, but he's going to have to bide time with his legs, more short passes. Because, you know, I do think he is going to have to win it with his arm too, but he's going to have to bide himself some time also for wide receivers to be able to try to get open for him. And, you know, Newton is an individual that, as you referenced, is not the quote-unquote pocket passer, the Tom Brady type guy that's going to win it with his arm. But a lot of teams are going to, and we've seen this already, they're going to force Cam Newton to beat them with his arm. They're going to put a lot of guys in the box. Patriots may not have a prolific rusher, but their rushing attack is one that teams seem to be focusing upon. In conclusion, on the World Series, we've seen this trend continue where people just aren't watching live sports the way that they used to in this pandemic. And the first two World Series games were amongst the lowest rated ever. And I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, the Rays, for me as a baseball fan, there's that starting pitching, pretty interesting, and trying to figure out a way to, you know, scratch across some runs. But, you know, there's nobody that anybody in America has heard of in this series other than, you know, maybe Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger, which we've talked about for years as being a problem for baseball. Should the ratings concerns be alarming for baseball in an environment where maybe even in 2021 they're going to have to draw from TV, but TV doesn't really seem to care because they're still throwing billions of dollars at these professional sports entities?
Yeah, I don't think it's a concern at all. It's not alarming because I don't think anyone's surprised. It is what it is, and the NBA was down and people tried to blame it on, you know, the social justice stance, and maybe there was a sliver of that percentage of loss on that, but it's viewing habits. It's more than anything else. I don't even know how much of it anymore is the personality as much as it is. You watch game two of the World Series and you have the two best teams in baseball and one of them can't field a legitimate starting pitcher. I mean, that just leads to pitching changes, and the Rays do that anyways, even when Blake Snell is cruising. And it's not an enjoyable product to watch, I don't think. And I say that as a baseball diehard. You add that onto the viewing habits that are changing, the live sports, the election. I don't think it's a surprise. I would have been way more surprised if viewership was up or steady than I am.
That's Dave D'Onofrio. You've been listening to the Press Pass on KXL, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and that segment of the program brought to you by the Prescription Center.